Luke chapter 1 again, I want us to look at the character of these two women. You remember I told you that it was Mary going to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and so many things are told us about them, and I want to see the character of these two women from the things that the angel says about Mary, and then the things that Elizabeth says about Mary as well. If you say something about somebody else, you're not only telling what you think of them, but the way you speak reveals your character. You're telling something about yourself. So, let's look in chapter 1, verse 24, again. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord done unto me in the days wherein he looked upon me. He took away my reproach among men. What does this mean, my reproach among men? It's this, that if a woman in Israel were not married, and then if she were married, but had no children, then there was reproach. And this woman had lived. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. Talking about both Aaron's daughter, Elizabeth, and Zechariah, it says in verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was found, and they were both now well stricken in years. And the sad thing is that this reproach could not be removed from a woman. All her life long, when people would ask, your husband is Zechariah? Yes. And who are your children? And she would have to say, I have no children. And then she would be looked upon with reproach, because it says the children are the blessing of God. The fruit of the womb is the blessing of God. And it would seem as if this woman should be reproached because of the suffering in her life that kept God from giving her children. So know that about it. Now, let's hear a little bit about what an angel, Gabriel, says about Mary. Verse 48. We read some of this morning, so it isn't necessary to read it again. Gabriel comes to visit Mary. What is so remarkable is that 6 months before he went to Jerusalem to visit Zechariah, and then he went back to heaven. And now he's come back from heaven to earth, to Nazareth, where Mary is. And now he's speaking to her. Verse 48. And he came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. This is the way the full text goes. Some versions reduce it, but the full text says this, three things. Hail, he gives a greeting, and he addresses her as highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. This is what the angel says about Mary. Now, when he said those things about her, she could hardly believe that he was speaking about her, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. Now look at verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What would make God look upon you? His favor? Or we'll see presently. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary asked how this is going to be, and she told it will be accomplished by the working of the Spirit of God upon her. And it says, look at verse 36, and behold, Elizabeth thy cousin, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. Now, think of this. This woman, old, advanced in age, having gone through life with reproach, and people would look at her and they would say, barren, she has no children. But this is what it says in verse 36. This is the sixth month with her that was called barren. And so now the one that was called barren and had been under reproach her whole life long, that was the end of it. Why? Verse 37. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary leaves Nazareth and travels 75 or 100 miles down to Jerusalem or nearby, wherever Zechariah and Elizabeth live. And she comes into the house and she salutes Elizabeth. Let me show you how you find out what it means to salute someone. Look at verse 29. The angel has saluted Mary. In verse 29 says, she was greatly troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. This is the salutation that the angel Gabriel gave Mary. Look at verse 28. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. That is the salutation that Gabriel gave Mary. Now, we are not told what salutation Mary gave Elizabeth. It simply says that she came in and saluted Elizabeth. Verse 41. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped from her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Two things she says about Mary. The angel had said she was blessed among women, and now Elizabeth says the same thing. Blessed art thou among women, and also, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And thanks is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me. Now think a moment. The Lord Jesus is 1 month in the womb of Mary. And not as the world says today, that until a child in the womb reaches a certain age, it's not a child, it's not a human being. Our Savior is called the Lord in the womb of Mary, and he's 1 month old. And blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 43. And this is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me. For behold, when the voice of my salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believes. Now, here he calls blessed again. Blessed art thou among women, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And it says another reason that he's blessed. Look at verse 45. Blessed is she that believes, that is Mary, who believes when the angel spoke to her. For there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer.
and Father. Let us know that so much is not told us concerning these great mysteries. How a woman who had ceased to be able to have children, had her body renewed so that she could have children. And let us not told us how the word he was picked out in was God was made fresh, how he was conceived in the womb of Mary. Let us simply told us that the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of the Most High overshadowed her. Wherefore also that holy thing which is begotten of thee. And that is enough for our Father. We would not cry. Let us simply told us that the Spirit of God is he who causes our Savior to be formed in the womb of Mary. We thank you that you told us this much, and we are satisfied. And we thank you for the other things that you told us. So few things are God, and yet so full of meaning. And that assures me, because men would make comments and those would give interpretations. But we are thankful that you have given us the interpretation itself in the Word of God. So help us as we study it a little while again tonight. We thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Father, that we are here tonight, and the Word of God is being read, and we desire to listen to it again. So, bless us for that as we pray. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's never been a meeting such as this between two kinsfolk before. Both of them the child miraculously, and Mary more miraculously than her cousin Elizabeth. Now, what is of the greatest importance is to understand the few things spoken by the angels of Mary and the things spoken by Elizabeth of Mary, because so tell us the truth concerning the virgin, and they also would withhold us from going too far and praising her more highly than God would have us to praise her. What happens today is that among Protestants, they pull her down. And what is wrong among the Catholics is that they lift her up. But what God does is to tell us her place in the world. It's like this. If I read you a prophet in the Old Testament and prophet in the New Testament, and I said, give me an evaluation of these prophets, if I told you concerning the prophet that was in the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, as Savior evaluated him, he said, of all those born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And so if John the Baptist stood beside Moses, if he stood by Elijah the prophet, Isaiah the prophet, the Lord Jesus himself would say, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And so the matter is settled. And if God tells us things concerning the Virgin Mary, then there is truth, whether we like it or not. But being true, we do not add to them, and we do not take away from them. And this is the first thing, that this woman has found favor with God because of the life of chastity that she has lived up until that time. How many women had wanted to be used of God, but because of some indiscretion in their life, God was not able to use. Suppose Mary, in her youth, had made one mistake and had known a man. Could God bestow the favor of letting her have his son? He said no. Why? Because of the imperfect life that she had lived. But however imperfectly she had lived, one thing was true. The woman had kept her virginity, and God knew that, and therefore, this is a woman that he could choose. But he could not go among the women of Israel and choose one of a different tribe, say of the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, or Gad, for the simple reason that this man who is to be born is to be a descendant of David. And for that reason, God had to search throughout the people of Israel and find women of the tribe of Judah, and then of all of those women of the tribe of Judah, he had to find the woman that was descended directly from David, because our Savior is called the Son of David. And think of how many there could have been that were descended. It's like this. In checking up on my genealogy, I found out that I was descended from the man that sold the city of Raleigh to the founding fathers. And I said, well, think of that. But then I studied more and more, and I found out that there were multitudes that had come by that same line, and they were descended from him as well. And so here are many that would be descendants of David, but there has to be this certain one in the direct line, and then she has to be a chaste virgin, has to be worthy to bear in her womb the Word made flesh, and so this is the woman. And for that reason, that is why the angel says concerning her, and Elizabeth, her kinswoman, says the same thing. Blessed art thou among women. God has chosen certain individuals to fulfill certain tasks that he desires to be fulfilled among men. Think now. Here is the nation of Israel, slaves in Egypt, and God is going to choose someone to deliver them from the bondage of Pharaoh. And what happens is this, that he chooses Moses. And so if you ask concerning Moses, who was the most blessed among those living at that time, among the Jews, the answer would be Moses. Blessed art thou among men. Why? Because God has chosen you for the great task of leading the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. Now, there was something even more blessed than that. Here is a world that's filled with sin. Our first mother, Eve, brought sin into the world. And so through this woman and through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. So God says, I, through a woman, shall bring another man into the world. And through this man, I'm going to bring life to the world. Think of that. So this is the blessedness. This woman is the counterpart of Eve. Eve is the one who brought sin and death into the world. And Mary is the one who brought life and joy into the world through her obedience up to now, and through her willingness, her submissiveness to the will of God. Because even though the angel came and did not ask, would she accept this position? And remember, if you wanted to have a humorous comparison, read when God chose Moses to fulfill his will, and how Moses did everything in his power to get out of it. God said, now I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh. Moses said, Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. I haven't been able to speak before, and I can't speak now. He did all in his power to get out of doing everything God wanted him to do. But Mary makes no excuse. When he speaks to her that way, blessed art thou among women, she would wonder, why would he speak to me that way? That shows her humility, because the holiest are people at times consider themselves most sinful. And for the same reason, many that are carnal consider themselves quite holy. Why? Because to a man who does not know the will of God, he thinks that some
sin that he commits, well, that really isn't a sin. God wouldn't look at that as a sin. Whereas there are others who, if they did something, the slightest infraction, they would feel ever so convicted because they would say, that is a sin. Whereas the other one would laugh and say, that's no sin. And so he was married that is spoken of as blessed art thou among women. And she would say, who am I? Who am I to receive these tidings from God and to be the mother of Jesus, the promised Messiah? And so here is something of the character of Mary, her humility. But now, he says other things. He says, blessed art thou among women. He says, thou art highly favored. Now, this is most important. The Roman Catholic Church says that Mary is filled with grace, that she has received grace, and having received grace, she's able to dispense that grace. What God does to counteract such a teaching is this. Here it's translated correctly, thou art highly favored. But what it literally says in the original language is this. Thou art graced. The word grace is a verb, and it says, you are graced. And they interpret that, you are highly favored. And I want you to see this in Ephesians 1. Just listen to me as I quote it. It says that Christians are accepted in the Beloved. That's a beautiful thought. Accepted in the Beloved. But what people do not know is this, that the identical word that is used of Mary in Luke 1 is used of us, all Christians, in Ephesians chapter 1, and it says, we are graced in the Beloved. We are highly favored. And so, if you say, well, anyone that is graced is filled with grace and can impart that grace to others, you have to say, well, every born-again child of God is filled with grace, and they can impart that grace to another. You say, oh, no, I don't believe that. If it's true of Mary, it's true of every Christian. And so you say, well, then, she's highly favored, and the Christians are highly favored because God has bestowed his grace upon them. And that is the truth of the matter. But please notice that the angel says that she is highly favored, and it says she is blessed among women, and blessed now, Elizabeth, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, our Lord Jesus Christ. So think of all the blessings tied up with Mary. She's blessed to be chosen to be the mother of Jesus, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So here is the mother that is blessed, and here is the child that is blessed. Think of those that are born out of wedlock, and they are not blessed. They are coming to the world designated as those that are out of wedlock. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the womb, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, this is what God tells us. That inasmuch as it says that the one who began the life of Jesus in the womb of Mary is the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, it tells us two things concerning Jesus. Notice, he's called the fruit of her womb. That is his humanity. But it is said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. That is where the divine comes from. The Lord Jesus must be as much human as he is divine. He must be God manifest in the flesh, and that is made possible by the Spirit of God, being he who begins the conception. He is Holy Spirit, the power of God, and so all the characteristics and attributes of God are to be found in this one. And he is the fruit of the womb of Mary, and therefore all of the attributes and characteristics of man apart from sin are to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a mystery that no one can ever tell you about. How the Lord Jesus can be both God and man and yet be one person is something that is incomprehensible to the mind of man. No angel can conceive of it. God the Father alone can conceive of it. Now, God does not tell us that we are able to comprehend everything he teaches us in his word. He simply tells us what the word says, and he expects us to believe it. It's like this. When the Lord Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha after their brother had died, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now, Martha, she wanted the Lord Jesus to do something for under those conditions. And the Lord Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Remove the stone." Martha said, No. It's terrible. His body is about to decompose. Please do not remove that stone." You see, she was not prepared to believe all that Jesus was. She could not conceive that the Lord Jesus could say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did come forth. And therefore, she could not conceive of such a thing. But because she could not conceive of it, did not prevent the Lord Jesus from speaking those words and from her brother Lazarus coming forth. And in like manner, because the greatest minds in the world read such a story and they say, "It's impossible. Nobody could conceive of such a thing. God can conceive of such a thing. And he has told us, and we accept it." The Lord Jesus speaks of himself both as man, who says, "I am a man who told you all the truth." And he speaks of himself as God, because he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." The Lord Jesus is both God and man. And this is how it takes place. Think now. Suppose we only had the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John. And somebody told you that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. What would you understand about it? Less than we do, because Mark tells us nothing about the virgin birth of Christ, and John tells us nothing about the virgin birth of Christ. He simply tells us this, that the Word, the Lord Jesus, was with God and was God, and he says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And somebody would say, How? And so God in his goodness gives us the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke and tells us how this is brought about. But having told us those things, we know no more, we comprehend it no more fully than had these things not been told. But at least if someone said, "How could Jesus be God manifest in the flesh?" I would tell of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, and I would tell of Jesus being the fruit of the womb. And that would be all that I would tell you. It is as extended as it is as him has explained it. It is true to God. All right, notice this. Understand that our Savior, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and concerning Mary, it says, "Blessed art thou." Two things. The blessedness of Mary, and also the Lord is with thee. Two things. How essential it is for Mary to know that when this thing is going to come upon her, that the Lord is with her. How would anyone go through life being lit by the Spirit, having her son to be the man of power and appointed to please, having all the broken parts throughout the life of her son? The son being misunderstood, how does she go through life and her son is with her? But I want you to see that whatever comes upon us, if God places a burden of responsibility upon us, and he says, "I am going to be with you through it all," then that means success. Because it is said concerning Joseph in the Old Testament, again and again and again, that the Lord is with him. For the soul has a slave by his brothers, and it says,
the Lord was with him, and then he was lied about as Potiphar's wife, and he was cast into prison, but it says, the Lord was with him. And so it means this, when it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, then I'm going to be able to get through life and deal with other situations, because God's goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And so Mary is going to have to go through this experience, misunderstood by her husband, and misunderstood by most of the people in the world today, and yet God is with her, and he puts her through. Now, what is so beautiful about the angel telling Mary of her mission, and Moses being told of his mission, is this, that Moses kept asking question after question, confessing that he was not able, he was not sufficient for these things. But Mary just asked one question. She was fully aware that she had never known a man. And she knew that children were not born without a woman knowing a man. And so she only asked one question. How is this glory that come to pass? That's all that she asked. And then the angel told her the answer to that question, because it was a legitimate, lawful question. And when she heard that, he said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, who is unto me according to thy word. And the matter is settled. And so Moses made every excuse to escape the responsibility, and Mary simply said, tell me how it's going to be accomplished. And the angel told her, and she submitted to the will of God. So faith of these two women, an old woman and a young woman, both of them about to bring sons into the world, one announcing the Lord Jesus Christ, and the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, John the Baptist, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Two wonderful women in the Word of God, whom God used in their youth and in their old age. And it's wrong, let us say. Father, we thank you that though you told us not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, yet, our God, you accomplish your work, your will is done. And there are not many holy in the world today, not many pure in heart, not many that you can look down upon and be able to use them because of carnality, because of sin. And yet, there was Elizabeth, an old woman, and there was Mary, a young woman. So, Father, send us from our sins, and help us to live acceptably in thy sight, that if you have something for us to do, we may be able to do it. And may we understand what is to be done, and then may we be submissive as Mary was and say, be it unto me, according to thy will. Bless us, these men, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.